Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 235 of the King of the Hill podcast. My name is Eric Strothers, and with me, as always, are my two excellent co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
And one Mr. Dallas Wood.
Real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Whoa. I don't know what that means, but you came back with it, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you. It's Lil Wayne. Yeah, you can look it up. It's one of the funniest rap lyrics ever.
What is it? Move slow like lasagna? What did you say to me just now?
Real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Move in silence like lasagna.
It's from a 6'7" song, if you recall that one.
Is it moving silence or move in silence?
Move in silence like real G's in, or real G's move in silence like lasagna.
So I'm guessing he's trying to make a play on the G, not being silent. Is that what he's doing?
Yes.
Well, that's a bad rhyme, Lil Wayne. Sorry, buddy.
Well, if you know anything about Lil Wayne.
He had too much scissor that day is what happened.
That. And he never writes anything down. He literally goes into the booth and whatever they recorded is exactly what he came up with on the spot. So he is brilliant from that standpoint, but sometimes it's like, damn, man, maybe you want to go back and maybe write something down. But this one, like, is considered one of the best rap lyrics ever.
What? Eminem claims that he freestyled Rap God.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I believe him there. There's way too much going on. Eminem.
Unless he's, okay, when he did Rap God, was he off the drugs?
I think so, yeah.
Here's the thing.
He maybe could have done it.
I'm going to tell you about freestyling. Okay. It's just like improvising on the guitar. Hang on, let me get a sip of this coffee while I get ready to fill your ears with some serious knowledge. Here it comes.
You can feel them if you want to, too. That's fine.
When people improvise on their instrument, I improvise all the time. What I'm really doing is putting together combinations of things that I have played before. That's literally what's going on. There is zero chance that somebody let me rephrase that. Well, no. There's zero chance somebody comes up with a note combination that they've literally never, ever played before, ever, when they're improvising, unless it's just like blind. I've never played a guitar before, and I put my hands on it and started wiggling my fingers around and hitting strings. So,
that's me. The shredding over there.
When people who write lyrics, when people who do anything, they'll have ideas in their head that they might not jot down, that might pop out in the spur of a moment, and it feels like it just came out of nowhere. But what really happened is at some point you conceptualized it or came close to conceptualizing it, and your brain just filed it away. Because
have you heard Rap God before?
Yes, I think. Which one? How does it go? Oh no, yes.
I'm beginning to feel like a rap god.
But
I mean, his verse is like the fastest verse that ever happened.
Yes.
So like it's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's like to say that he improvised all that, even if it's recalling memories, that's like, it's ridiculous. If he actually did it that way.
Right.
I'm just saying.
So here's what people think that lyric means. I looked it up because I was a little fuzzy on this. So they say, real G's don't need attention. They're content to remain unnoticed and operate thankless. So like the lasagna is unnoticed and thankless.
No, I think the G in lasagna is
unnoticed. Oh, the G in lasagna. Yeah. It's total wordplay. I think that's what he meant by that.
But
codeine in liquid form, I'm sure makes people think crazy stuff. Because, I mean, if anybody has ever seen Lil Wayne, the majority of the time he will have a styrofoam cup in his hand. And it is not filled with the punch. It's filled with the scissor up. The codeine cough syrup.
Yeah, he's got a problem. Or at least he did. I don't know if he does anymore.
No idea.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't heard any of his stuff recently And that new J. Cole album came out, and we can't stop listening to that, me and my son.
The dude smokes at least an ounce of weed a day, and he used to drink codeine cough syrup. So, I mean, of course he thinks a silent G in lasagna is a clever line. I don't want to tell you.
Dude, I'd love to hear him write a song about pterodactyls then.
Right.
You're welcome. So anyway, we were talking before about right before we started recording, we were debating on whether we would open up, you know, with all the King of the Hill characters instead of our own names, and we backed off from that because nobody wanted to be Bill Dauterive. But much like the actual Bill Dauterive,
hit me with Boomhauer. I can do Boomhauer. I'll tell you what, man, I'm gonna go over the ground.
Well, Eric has already decided Listen, Eric has already decided that you and I are not cool enough to be Boomhauer.
That's the problem.
That's what happened.
For God's sake, Hank, grow up.
Dude. That's why when Eric responded to somebody's tweet this week about that,
Owens.
And he goes, all we need now is a Boomhauer. I already have a Dale and a Bill. And I said, choose who's who. Wisely, Strothers.
Yeah.
Nobody
wants to be either, frankly.
Dude, there was a great
I'd rather be Dale. I don't want to be a loser, Bill.
What episode was it? I don't even remember the whole premise of the episode, but I remember Boomhauer was talking about not going over to somebody's house. Because I tell you what, man, if you bring a friend over and a double boink. Okay, and Hank replies like he said something completely different that actually was... I should just look it up. It was definitely good. But anyway, what I started to talk about for a second, and the reason I said, hang on, let's record this, was you guys, Cruiser, you're probably too young to remember that whenever the beginnings of the internet, it was all about binary news groups, right? And so if you would have news groups like alt.anarchy, where it was just a news group, where it was basically a big bulletin board and it would be postings about anarchy or whatever. And you could get all these where they would do a multi-part binary file where it's like there's 400 messages and you have to have them all. And they all basically have like, it looks like hexadecimal, just text. But anyway, so like...
That sounds taxing.
Dale Gribble was talking about that in the very first, I think it may have been the first episode of King of the Hill. It was an early one. He's talking about the black helicopters the CIA send flying over your house. And they're like, where'd you hear about that? He goes, internet, alt.black.helicopter.government.cia.espionage. News groups, man, that's where it's at. That's when like, torrents became a big deal. The news groups were where you really got the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well,
alt.black.helicopter.
Is this like the precursor to the dark web?
Probably.
Sort of. It probably is the like genesis of that. But I was thinking about Dale, like after we recorded last week and we watched the episode where they hire him to like do his exterminating or no, where they hire him to be a bounty hunter. The bounty hunter. Oh my God. So hilarious. That whole like thing. Hank's like playing it out. They're all just playing. If you haven't seen that episode, those of you who are still listening, check that one out. It's an all time. That one and the one where he does do extermination on the Megalomart and it's Chuck Mangione's.
Living in there.
Living in there.
Dude, that's a good one. There's another good one where Dale, the chemicals almost kill him. He was in somebody's house, gets trapped in a duct and accidentally gasses himself. And they're like, you can't keep doing this. You'll die. So he gets a job working in a cubicle at some place.
Oh, yeah, firing people.
And then they realize he's great at firing people. So that becomes his job. And it goes to it's ridiculous. But anyhow, there is an episode where they the kids run off and go hide in the caves.
Yeah.
And they hide in this place called the Boneyard.
Yeah, and it's like where all the teenagers are hooking
went
up.
To go bone, and it's like that is the best name of all time. That is really good. That's good stuff.
Last week you said you and your kids rushed through the first season. I said my daughter and I had just started it. Well, we got through the Scoutmaster, the Order of the Light Arrow.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
You know, they talked to John. Yeah, they talked to John Redcorn and get all the like sacred stuff. So now my daughter setting the table tonight for dinner. Her mom asked her, go grab the stuff for, I can't remember which side dish she was grabbing. She's like, go put that on the table. And my wife or my daughter comes over and I'm sitting at the table. She goes, here's the chicken, Wimitanya. Here's the chicken. So now she's saying Wimitanya all the time.
Dude, whenever time John Redcorn would get ready to say something like deep Native American, the wind would start blowing and his hair would start rustling in the wind when he'd talk.
Also love that Peggy Hill didn't know that he had hooked up with Nancy all those years until she finds out in later seasons and she's all embarrassed that they all knew and she didn't.
Oh my gosh, dude. Well, then see, what I didn't like about that though is in the early seasons she plainly did.
Yeah,
and then that's they just true. Decided she that she didn't know. You know, that's the one bad thing about continuity in long running shows like that. There's a really good one where they were Bobby and Joseph and Connie were playing and they're like, "You're lucky, Connie. You're Asian. Joseph and I, we're not anything. We're just white."
Yeah.
Anyhow, so now we're the worst show of all time. But you know what? I'm glad.
Well established.
I'm glad people are still listening. Glad you are.
We've been canceled in 4 years, so
yeah. You know what?
We're good.
You know what we should talk about right now? You thought I was going to play the Who Got What theme, but what I'm going to play instead is the King of the Hill theme. Who got what? Do, do, do.
Propane.
Dang, I'll tell you what.
So, did anyone get anything this week? Anyone? Anyone?
I got some sweet new ink from hydro dipping myself on the pool. Besides that, no, I got nothing else. Got nothing.
I got some doors at my house.
Some doors.
Four specifically. Not all the ones we need for the house, but I got some of them.
Are they installed doors?
Oh, no, they're just leaning in the garage waiting for somebody to steal.
Ah, nice. Is there a garage door on the garage?
Oh, no.
Oh, nice.
Dang. Oh, we have electrical in the walls. Yeah. Oh, and we recently found out that our windows hadn't even been started manufacturing yet, even though we ordered them 3 months ago because of a glass shortage. So nice. Awesome.
Nailed it.
Just go melt some fucking sand, you weirdos.
Right? I need to get to work.
Do a nuclear test or something. They'll have tons of glass laying around in the desert.
Go out in Nevada. I guarantee there's lots of glass just laying around.
Yeah.
Natural radioactive glass.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get it.
Keeps you warm in the winter without heat.
Yeah. Yeah, plus helps you see in the dark.
Plus, fuck this mud ball. You won't be here long with it.
You know, it's pretty crazy when you think about like all of the atomic and nuclear testing they did, just not really sure what was going to happen. Did you know? Boy, this show is off the rails. But
kind of like the large Hadron Collider, that thing. Yeah. They knew what was going to happen, but they still didn't really know. It was weird.
Did you know that when they detonated the first atomic bomb, they weren't 100% sure with perfect 100% certainty that the reaction wouldn't continue to happen and destroy the atmosphere of the Earth?
Oh, nice. Fuck. And
they
still
weren't
100%
sure. They figured it probably wasn't going to. They weren't 100% sure. And think about that for a minute. Yep. We set it off and the chain reaction ended up taking out the atmosphere also. Congratulations, everybody. You're dead.
Welcome to the vacuum of space. Yep. You're dead.
Yeah.
Was that the one they did in the ocean or was that in Nevada?
I'm pretty sure they did it above ground
in New Mexico.
On a big platform.
Yeah. Because I believe they detonated the first nuclear device in New Mexico, but then they did like on a Bikini Island, I think was the next one. One of those islands they'd captured out in the Pacific and just fucking annihilated it.
Fucking
and
they just Einstein didn't care. And the members in the Manhattan Project, you sons of bitches. Like
that was a really good joke I just made. Anyhow, I got nothing. But what I did do is I had to go mow at my other house today. Dude, I am wrecked. Oh, but hang on. Let me just, I didn't get anything. But what I did do is I played this gig on Saturday in this little town. Okay. Population 2000. This nice. Bar, they built it on the back of, and here's the thing, you only see this stuff in little towns. They could never get away with it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. They built this bar on the back of this restaurant. There's no bathrooms in it. You have to walk out of the bar through the parking lot to the front entrance of the restaurant, go in there and use the restrooms there right off the vestibule. I'm not joking. And I thought, this seems like a peculiar choice. And to make matters worse, it's like they have all these roll-up windows. Like, so it's basically like little tiny roll-down garage doors everywhere for the windows and doors, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
In case it starts pouring down rain. Well, people just hang out in the parking lot. So everybody's tailgating at this bar, drinking their beer out of their coolers instead of coming up and ordering drinks. And so when it comes time to pay us, they're like, we don't have enough money. We're going to have to write you a check. And they did, and that's all fine. But I'm like, what the hell, little towns? What are you thinking?
Get your shit together.
Yeah. If you're going to have a rock show, man, I mean, we made decent money doing it too. And I remember thinking the second I pulled in, are they going to be able to afford to pay us? What? How do they? Not that we're the highest paid band in the world or anything, but dang, we do okay. I thought, yeah. I hate to see any place like fail, but geez.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, little towns is just people who come from like well-regulated areas and then go to like a small town somewhere would be like, what do you mean this is here? This bathroom's where? What do you mean you got to piss outside on the grass?
Oh yeah. And then think about the restaurant patrons who these drunk bar patrons are coming into the restaurant to like knock over their food at the table and annoy the wait server. And you know what I mean? It's ruining the restaurant experience. You're not going to a bar to eat dinner.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, these little restaurants in these small towns are where some people go literally every night to eat dinner because it's the only restaurant in town and they don't know how to cook. So they just go there and it's where all their friends go and everything else. So like whenever you have people from out of town going there, they all just like turn and look at you like, what the fuck you doing here, boy? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
you better you not ain't be from
around here, are you?
You better believe in chemtrails like I do.
Dude. Yeah, it's a whole thing. But
it's a whole different world.
Well, anyhow, we went there, and I don't know that we'll be back. I mean, that's up to them.
Really. Did the check clear?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, paid us.
Then I mean, but, is it close enough to you to warrant going back again?
It's an hour drive for me each way.
Also, 2-hour round trip.
Was the crowd cool? At least, like,
oh, yeah, they liked us.
Yeah, like, you know, like I mean, were you guys getting a vibe from the crowd?
Yeah, they dug it. No, it's just like, I'll tell you this much. I was ready to go when we were done. I was also ready to go when we started. So anyhow. So everybody, we had some neat things go on this week. We had the season finale of The Bad Batch. We had the season beginning of Marvel's What If. We had some news about Carl Weathers that I can't seem to get exactly right. And what else did we decide we had this week?
The conclusion of whether or not Crosshair was actually a douchebag or he was being manipulated.
Ah.
Yeah, we actually found out if he had his chip removed or not.
Gotcha.
By a roundabout way.
And anything else? I don't think so.
I think a good podcast would know.
Well, guys, be sure to check out patreon.com/ The Bad Motivators because we're already done with this episode. But seriously, what did you guys think of What If?
I loved it. I was saying in a chat that I was like, I almost like Captain Carter better than Captain America. She was rad. And then it was kind of fun to have him be Iron Man, even though like I'm a big Iron Man guy. Oh, spoilers if you didn't see this. Sorry.
It's, you had your chance. It's been a week.
Ruined that shit.
Yeah. By the time this comes out, there'll be another one.
Yeah, exactly. So, it comes out on Wednesday, right?
Yes, sir.
But I'm loving this. I love how they start with the Watcher. And immediately when they start with that, it's so much easier to accept what's going on because, hey, we've already had – and, you know, Disney isn't screwing up here because, you know, Spider-Man, the multiverse movie came out. Sony produced that. They have definitely been running with what that kind of created. You know, right. The fact that that movie did well is the reason that we can have this movie. And WandaVision, apparently, reportedly, WandaVision was well-received. So,
no, the reason What If can do well is, I mean, sure, you can credit Into the Spider-Verse, but, like, Marvel's been ramping up the whole different timeline thing for years.
But, so, I mean, it's really hyper-focused right now. And, like, that Spider-Man movie, like, was the catalyst for, like, the kind of the beginning of, hey, this is the content going in this direction.
Well, it's like it's getting the mainstream to be hip to the possibility.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I mean.
Because
for
like
the casuals.
People like my wife, she's never read a comic book in her life.
No, it's nothing to do with comics. I mean, Doctor Strange, the Avengers movies, like all that stuff had alternate realities in different time and different.
Sure.
So I'm just saying, like, you can say that it's the Spider-Verse, but I really think it's Marvel that did it themselves.
Well, what I mean by that statement is it got the general public to accept a multiverse. Without having
– yeah. Yeah. I got you. I get what you're saying, but I don't agree.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, sorry. That wasn't meant to be rude.
No, I'm just saying casuals I don't think would – I agree with you, too. I'm just saying I think casuals are
– Well, because I don't – I think – I think a lot of people, I'm just using my wife as an example here. I don't know that she would have made the leap from the events of Doctor Strange and all of that and the Avengers movies into opening the possibilities that are going to come forth with the whole idea of a multiverse. Okay. Unlike seeing, Into the Spider-Verse and having all this stuff happening,
slapping
them
across
time.
The face.
Basically, this is like in your face, boom, boom, boom. But man, talk about a great movie. So that's one thing, fantastic. Man. I was hoping my wife would have watched What If by now, because one of my friends had said, you know, if she wasn't too hip on Loki, she didn't hate Loki, she just didn't get inside of it, that she'd probably dig this thing, but like she really didn't express much of an interest in even taking a look at it. And but I dug it. I thought it was pretty cool. There's a couple of jokes in there where it felt a little too much, like it was hitting you on the head, like Steve Rogers saying, well, I mean, at least they didn't, you know, they could have put you on a USO tour and blah, blah, blah. It's like,
I thought that was funny, though.
Oh, it was funny. But it was skirting a dangerous line, you know what I mean, of making it complete cheese ball. But I did think it was really cool. I love that they've got the original cast doing a lot of the voices.
Oh, yeah.
I think that really makes it feel better.
Now, is Chris Evans voicing?
Mm-mm. Is it not him?
I don't know.
I don't think it was him.
I don't think it was him. Yeah, I was like having a hard time. Like I watched it twice, and I should have just looked at the credits. But
yeah, well, because you know, I mean, when you get a name like Stanley Tucci, you surely can get a B grade actor like Chris Carter.
Well, I know Sebastian Stan did the voice.
Yeah, Sebastian Stan did, and they got the same Red Skull, the guy that did Red Skull, and they got the guy that did Dr. Zola. And the gal that does Agent Carter, I can't remember her name, she's doing Carter.
And the guy who was the doctor for the good guy.
Tony Stark. Yeah, Tony Stark's, the young Tony Stark from the original Captain America. That
young Howard Stark.
Yeah, Howard Stark. Yeah, sorry.
But the doctor. The one who, Stan Tucci.
Yeah.
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 Him being there was, but anyway, never mind. So I did like it. I like the animation style. I liked, I dug it. And I'm glad that they're one-offs. I think that's really cool because they showed us everything we need to know about Peggy Carter being, you know, Captain
Carter.
Britain.
Britain.
Yeah, Captain Britain.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I really did. I would be curious to think what our lady listeners would think about the over the top, like, girls can't do this jokes that they kept doing in the show. You know what I mean? Like, for the sake of like I understand that that's exactly what they would say in that time for sure, or even now. But like, I wondered like for the sake of just doing it and making becoming like a more of like a normalized thing. Like, of course women could be superheroes. Why are we even debating it? They would just make it so they would go along with it, just like they did with Steve Rogers. You know what I mean? Like, I can't speak on myself. I'm not a woman, but I'm genuinely curious what women thought of what they think of those moments that perpetually happen in movies and TV shows of like, you know, get back in the kitchen or whatever other jokes they make, you know? Mm. But overall, I thought it was a really strong episode and a great opener. And Peggy Carter was fucking awesome. And,
oh, man.
And then having, like you said, having little Steve Rogers be in the Iron Man suit, the indestructible Iron Man suit that Howard made was really cool. And the fact that they powered her with the Tesseract was very cool as well.
Yeah, it was an interesting twist.
Yeah. And I was trying to they even had down, let's see, the Red Skull stuff though, that was the guy that wasn't the original actor. That was
it
the
wasn't? One
who it was the one who played him in Endgame. Who was in
okay.
And that guy was he's from The Walking Dead. That's where I know him from. I can't remember his name, but he managed to sound just like what's his fucking name, from Lord of the Rings and The Matrix. What's his name? He was the original Red Skull. Oh my God!
Man. Oh, Agent Anderson,
Agent Smith,
Agent Smith. Yeah,
I can't remember what
Neo's name was. Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, it was. It is.
So that guy was the Red Skull.
It's Hugo Weaving. That's who. That's who originally was Red Skull in the first Captain America movie.
God, they got a different guy. I didn't even know that.
I didn't either. He didn't do the other ones.
So, you know, back to the thing where wondering how women would feel about it. It's pretty crazy to think, but I suspect that. It's not as overt now, but I suspect that women probably deal with that quite a bit even still.
Oh, for sure. That's what I'm saying. Like, I wondered, like, oh my God, here we go fucking get with these fucking women can't do shit jokes. You know what I mean? Like, I just imagine they'd be like, okay, can't we just show her doing it without all the fucking the catcalling? You know?
Yeah. I think for me, what I did like about that was it was – not only her being awesome, but them looking stupid for questioning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, I get what you're saying, but it also fits in the context of the era. And they're pointing that out so people don't forget. You know what I mean? For younger audiences. You know what I mean? Younger audiences might not realize that.
Because of what a big deal that would have been.
Yes, yeah. They're emphasizing that for the younger audience to know, hey, in this era, in some states in the United States, women still couldn't vote.
They called them the good old days. She said she wanted to watch for her birthday, and I said, you don't need a watch. There's a clock on the stove.
But any lady listeners, I would be genuinely curious what you thought of that kind of stuff. I you know, it's not for me to speak on it. I'm just curious what you thought. But yeah, really good. I'm looking forward to the episode where Black Panther actually becomes Star-Lord. I think that one's going to be cool.
Where
he gets picked up by Yondu instead of Peter Quill. Yeah, it was in the previews.
Oh, I haven't seen any of the previews. That's going to be rad.
And then they're going to do one where instead of Doctor Strange, he's Dr. Normal.
Right.
Yeah. And it'll just be him at a desk job. It's going to be pretty groundbreaking to have, a 30-minute episode of a guy doing paperwork. But
Dr. Normal, the accountant.
Yeah.
No, he ain't an accountant. He's a mid-level guy at an insurance company.
Mm. Maybe like the man, like a, like a, like a, like a mid-manager level at like a big box store?
No, no, no. He got a mid. No, he got a mid-manager. He's in the cubicle doing all the man-manager's work.
See, but I think he would still be smart. So maybe he'd be above that, but not quite smart enough to be the top of the food chain. Because there's always going to be one actual idiot at the top to managing the smart people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Dr. Normal is definitely not working at a call center collecting on credit cards.
Well, okay. So before we jump into the rundown of the final episode of this season of The Bad Batch, let's talk about this thing from StarWars.com that talks about Crosshair and whether or not his chip had actually been removed. And who sent, who did this tweet come from? Cruiser?
It was Star Wars Explained. They found the quote in the article and shared it, but it's from StarWars.com.
Yeah.
And can you read it to us?
You have to ask these things? Like, I'm prepared for such things?
I assumed you would have had it ready.
Jesus Christ, Eric, on a cracker.
I'm not editing this out.
I don't give a shit.
The show sucks. Because
it's all my fault. I accept again. I've accepted my failures.
Hey, listeners, think of the Michael Jackson eating popcorn gif while this is going on. That's my mentality. Anyway.
Okay. It'd be a lot better if you didn't say it, though. Okay, so here...
Well, I'm in Twitter jail, so it feels like that. So,
can I say the fucking quote, sir?
Yes.
God damn it. StarWars.com. I don't know if you can answer, but I saw on Twitter that fans were debating whether Crosshair really had his chip removed or the Empire made him think he had his chip removed. Is that something you can comment on? Jennifer Corbett, or it's Corbet, maybe? I don't know. Corbett or Corbet. I think we can say that he had his chip removed. Brad Rao, yeah. Have you seen that? Have you seen that guy? This the side of that guy's head? Laughs. Jennifer Corbet, the eagle-eyed fan will rewatch the season and notice a shift in his character. And when that is, they'll probably have seen it all along when he had it removed. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are people that worked on the show, obviously. So
my guess would be it's post getting his head burned off in that incident. That'd be my guess, but
yeah, I would agree with that. I'd agree with that. I feel like that's when the shift in the person, if they're talking about a shift in the personality, I feel like he was different after that burn.
Wouldn't it be crazy if they actually removed it when they said they were amping it up? And they did that, like, this is how I am, this is how I feel. I don't need a chip. You know what I mean? I'll prove it.
Dang. That's like, so people who are at their final interview for the CIA and they bring them in and they're like, all right, here's the deal. We need to know that you're 100% committed to this job. Here's a gun. Your wife's in the next room. Need you to go in there and kill her. And the first guy doesn't even take the gun. He's like, I can't. I'm sorry. We've been married. I love her so much. I can't do it. And they're like, no, we get it. You know, this job isn't for everybody. And this is why this is a test. The second guy picks up the gun and stands up and starts to walk toward the door. Then he turns back around, same story. He's like, I can't do it. I want this job so bad, but I just can't make it happen. The third guy takes the gun, walks straight in the door, shuts it behind him, and you hear two shots fired. And then a huge scuffle, banging around all kinds of stuff. And the guy finally comes out and his like shirt's ripped off and his hair, part of his hair is pulled out. They're like, dear God, what happened? He said, there were blanks in those guns. I had to strangle her. That's Crosshair.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
good setup, Eric. But that's almost exactly what happened in, what's Dallas? I know you've seen it too. That British, about that British spy agency who
Kingsman?
Yeah, the Kingsman.
Yeah, I was thinking that very thing. Yeah, when he was telling
where
that.
Where they each had to raise a puppy and up to adulthood during their whole training. At the end of the training, they were told, "You have one thing left to do is to show your loyalty. I want you to take this gun and shoot this dog in the face." It's the dog that you raised the entire time. and then some people couldn't do it, and then the other ones did it and then found out it was blanks in the guns. Like, it's just like just to see if you're willing to do what it takes.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine, Lord, like the wife situation is horrible and all that stuff, but like if it felt like the dog ones would be more likely to happen, like raise something and we tell you to kill it, you kill it, you know.
Well, and I know you related to that Kingsman movie even more because it was a pug that the dude was raising.
Oh, I was like, don't you do it,
don't you shoot that bitch. And he was cute as fuck too. He was so cute.
Dallas, you're like real quiet all of a sudden. Did your mic move or something?
Me?
Yeah.
I got too far away. So
you're like really quiet though.
No, I got too
far away. That's better.
Yeah, I was too far away.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to ruin the show, but like I can only boost it so far before it starts to sound like a turd. bad thing is though, man, you can't put blanks and fire a blank right up by somebody's head.
No.
There's an actor who died from that. Because
hearing damage.
Brandon Lee.
That's happened to him. There was an actor from another crime drama show. I can't remember what it was, but
I always heard that somebody put a real bullet in the gun that killed Brandon Lee. Is that not what happened? Was it a blank that just didn't work?
Oh, right? I don't know about that for sure, but
I thought it was the latter. It was a blank that, malfunction.
But I mean, the reason that it makes the bang is because there's a wad in there of paper. Yeah. Otherwise, it wouldn't. There'd be no explosion. Yeah. It would. There has to be, you know, compression for it to happen. And anyway, blah 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 blah. This is the worst show we've ever done, folks. And I'm sorry. So while we're talking about things that completely went wrong, why don't we talk about this season finale of The Bad Batch, episode 16? And man, oh man. I'll just say this. Visually, every episode seemed like they stepped it up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. I am no animator. I can't draw. I can't do anything. But the way they manage like the dynamic of the water movement and all that stuff, mm-hmm. pretty, pretty amazing. The stakes were good and high. You assumed something bad was going to happen to one of them, and I didn't think it was going to be AZ, but I was surprised that Omega went back for him, that she just jumped out of that capsule and swam after the droid. But I'm in love with that kid.
Oh, yeah.
Her talking about, you know, that she's older than them. Man, that is one thing with the clones that I realize you have to suspend a lot of disbelief in tons of things, right? Yeah. To make this work out. But those guys aren't just bigger. They're grizzled and beat up from their trials and like what they've been through, the experiences they've been through. I don't buy into the idea. And I mean, I realize it doesn't matter whether I buy into it or not. It's just how it is. But them being like 3 or 4 years old, you don't get that kind of wisdom and just the road miles by, there's only so much you can do. You know what I mean? But anyhow, I thought it was super well done though. And I really didn't know what was going to happen with Crosshair. I was hoping that he would go with them at least and see, mm-hmm. but man, he's his whole I Heart the Empire deal. Them, you know, all parting ways at the end and leaving him there. How's he going to get off of that thing?
I wondered that myself.
He's probably got a tracker or radio or something you can use. You know, it's Star Wars. You can do whatever.
Yeah, but part of me would have to wonder, though, would they come back for him? Because it's like we were trying to destroy you along with that whole stupid place.
Yeah, it's hard to say, right? I don't know. I was surprised he didn't go with them for that fact. Like, that he didn't. Like, he knew for sure that they were going to come back. I thought at the very least it would show them him leaving with them and going off on a different path, and then the beginning of the next season, it shows that he left and went back to the Empire, something like that, which is still so. I think honestly, his chip being removed kind of eliminates the need for the Bad Batch to do it and then help him out. Like, it, whatever happens with him is all his thoughts. It's all his command. So it's setting up a dramatic conclusion where he just can't find it in him to let them die. And he proved that by saving Omega. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought the episode was really good. So a lot of people online thought it was not the greatest. I guess they wanted a super big space battle. I don't know. I don't know what they thought it was going to be. Especially since we haven't really seen that in the entire season. There's not really been any big space battles. We got the bombardment of Kamino and all that good shit. That was crazy. And all that underwater shit sinking and going through the tunnels and the big ass sea monster. Of course, there's oceans. There's a giant sea monster for sure. So I thought that was all cool. Omega, I'm surprised at how much Omega became the star of the show, because it's really her and then the rest of the guys.
Oh yeah,
that's how it feels to me.
Yeah,
I always thought Hunter would kind of be the lead of the show and would go forward, but it really follows what Omega wants to do and where she wants to go. So
yeah, if they're rescuing somebody, they usually don't want to do it, and she's the one that say, "Hey, we got to help them out."
Yeah, yeah. When someone needs help, you help them. Yeah, kind of the whole idea.
She drives a lot of the stories. Well, a couple things, Eric. When you were talking about the animation and how it's gotten better, absolutely agree with you. That underwater shit with the pieces of the city falling in was dope. But I couldn't help but wonder if Steel Saunders was disappointed that shark dude wasn't swimming around out there.
I mean, weren't we all disappointed?
You know, no Kit Fisto fighting the shark dude, you know.
Well, he's long been dead, Kit Fisto, at that point.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The Emperor did kill him. So, yeah.
What was the shark guy's name?
I don't remember, man.
Do you remember?
Forgettable Shark Fin.
Oh, God, that was so dumb. But
back to the episode, people, I think, were disappointed not because there wasn't a space battle. I would say I fall into the category of it was a good episode. But as far as season finales go and track records with Dave Filoni animated shows, it was not up to par with a lot of the other stuff he's done. And some of these episodes were much better than the finale ended up being for a two-parter. So I can understand where some of that's coming from. I think it's unreasonable to come up with a reason why really you didn't like it. There's not really much more they could do because they're planning a second season now. And now that I know they have a second season, wouldn't be in the camp of very disappointed in that season finale. It sounds like when we see that season opener on the next season, we're going to be like, oh, that was the people who are saying they're disappointed may not be as disappointed as
much. I just don't think it's meant to be a grand story. There's no force sensitive baby. People were looking for Omega, but not that hard. You know what I mean? Like it was, they kind of quickly got past that whole thing. So like it really is about them moving on. And I think it probably ends up being that they join the rebellion. Like, I don't know how else it goes. You know what I mean? Like it's, or maybe they try to find their clone brothers and go somewhere and be away. I have no idea, but I just never expected a huge story from it. That's why I was kind of surprised when they announced they were making it from the get-go. Like I didn't think the story could be epic enough to show. And I've been surprised by how good the show is. And I distance myself from people who say it's the best animated Star Wars that's coming out so far.
Yeah.
I mean, because for me, I mean, it's only been one season, so who knows? Maybe it'll grow even more on me over time. But like for me, it's Clone Wars,
followed closely by Rebels, then Bad Batch, and then way down about 1,000 feet below Resistance. So like, it's just like,
hang on. I would say out of all those shows you mentioned, there are less characters on this show that I think we would care about like the other ones. You know what I mean? Like in like, there's just really Omega. I mean, I'm sure there's people that would be sad if Wrecker went or if Hunter went or Goggles.
I would.
You know what I mean?
I mean, all those guys.
It's not like I'm not invested in them like I'm invested in other animated characters like Ahsoka.
It still feels like a side story arc within Clone Wars.
Right. Like, it's like, hey.
Like, it feels like a 4 or 5 episode arc in Clone Wars is what it feels like.
And it's going to be like a 32 episode arc.
Yeah. It's just it maybe that's how it's meant to be, but like it just feels like a short story they would tell in Clone Wars. They move on to the next thing, the next episodic thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just, but that's nothing against it. I like it, and it, like we've said more over again, it looks beautiful. I'm still surprised about how great the animation has been. I thought for sure they would bring back the scale on the budget of it after Clone Wars, which they knew was pretty much a guaranteed success, and now Bad Batch, that's kind of a risk. So like. Yeah.
I think that, you know, people tend to expect, I bet there are people who expected somebody to die. Yeah. That's where some of the problem lies is, well, everybody lived. That's no good. That's not what you do. It's not what you do in these shows.
Or maybe a very strong conflict that results in Crosshair's death between Hunter and Crosshair or something like that. You know what I mean? Like they were expecting that somehow.
But I liked the somberness of a lot of it. And I liked how, you know, kind of the same thing as the last episode of Loki, where it's so character driven, lots of dialogue, that sort of thing. I really appreciate that. I thought it was a gutsy move.
Yeah, it's a risk for sure.
I'm glad that they went for it. I thought there were some of the elements, man, like when Crosshair is... Omega goes after the droid. Hunter's sitting there. Crosshair gets that big-ass gun. And you think, oh my God, he's going to hit Hunter, you know, right in the temple with that thing. And he does that baller through the water shot and pulls her up. That was pretty kick-ass. I liked how that worked out. Really expected him to turn when he's sitting there and that stinking little girl's looking him in the eye.
Yeah.
I really thought that might be it for him. And he'd be like, oh, shucks. But so much for that. What do I know?
I found myself really invested in that scene. What's the droid's name? CT-8? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Eric, you said it a minute ago.
AZ.
AZ. AZ. AZ.
I found myself really invested in his desperate attempt to bring them all to the surface safely. I thought that when they were in the capsules, I was really in his battery draining and him going to reserves and him going through the whole process and him... And he getting Omega almost way to the top, and her path was clear, and she thought he fell down, and he went to save her. I was really invested in that. I didn't. If you would have asked me last week if I would have cared, I probably would have said no. But I was really invested in it. I can't help but fall in love with these droids that they bring to us, and it's, you know, like, and I think I care so much about all the droids because most of the people in these shows don't care about the droids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they clearly showcase intelligence and feelings, like these droids, but most people still treat them like inanimate objects that don't matter, except for a few souls like Omega or Luke Skywalker, or you know what I mean, like Rey.
Well, I'm with you there because. Except for when they treat 3PO like shit. I love it when they treat him like shit.
Well, he brings on himself. I mean, yeah. That's all. But they still go out of their way to save him constantly. So I mean, like, it's
true.
You know,
They could have left him in the fucking desert and just picked up R2 at the end of Jedi. You know, end of the, like.
The thing with 3PO is he's like, you know, I'm fluent in over 6 million forms of communication. And also, you should check out my book.
Yeah.
It's like, that'll do, 3PO.
Hey, we're here to talk about the Phantom Menace, but you should get my book.
I'm yes. really surprised he doesn't. I'm really surprised he doesn't have a podcast yet where he just talks about his book. That's probably not happened yet because I mean everybody's got a podcast and who doesn't want another dude talking about what they care about in a podcast,
right? Well, back to what you were talking about with the pods and AZ saving him.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but think about that scene in Iron Man 3 where Iron Man's saving all the people who fell out of the plane. He's gathering them all up. Yeah. That's what that reminded me of. I thought it was awesome. He was being Iron Man old AZ.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. It was kind of like mixed with that and then the end of the first Avengers where he's taking the nuke out into space. And then he loses power and he drifts back down to Earth and the Hulk catches him.
Yeah, definitely a mix of those two scenes. Yeah.
Johnny Five is alive.
Oh yeah. My god, a short circuit reference.
Yeah, buddy.
Fucking shot that harpoon right through that dead droid's body. Used him as a rig to bring her back up. Excellent choice there.
Anyhow.
Los Locos punch your face.
I liked it.
Los Locos kiss your balls.
I liked it quite a bit.
Out of space.
I liked how sad it felt when they were all getting on the ship and Crosshair's just standing there. And I keep imagining, you know, like, that stupid Cinderella song, Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone. Tom Kiefer out there playing the piano on the edge of that stupid thing. You see the ocean crashing, you know,
and all its stupid waves.
Who was worse, Cinderella or Firehouse?
Dude, both of those bands ruled.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you look over and there's Ron Dunn and he's telling Crosshair, he's like, don't give in to hate. When you drink the salt water, the thirst only becomes worse.
Run.
Learn to fly, baby Snow Isle.
Oh, I remember you pulled out a Parks and Rec reference out of nowhere. I was like,
right?
Wait, this thing runs is that your on back
guano. It actually cleans the air as it drives.
Is that your last name or are you done? Both. I like Ron.
Yeah, Ron rules.
I worked with a man for 10 years. We never spoke a word to each other. He was my best friend. We still never speak sometimes.
Dude, that every time I hear him talk about not liking talking to people, I can't help but think of that episode where he got the circular desk.
Oh.
From Chris. And Chris got him the circular desk because he thought he needed to help more of the citizens. No,
yeah.
And then he's like swiveling away from them as they're trying to talk.
Sir, are you aware that there is bacteria in your water? I made some tea and now I have an infection. Was it, you know those sprinklers in the park that say do not drink? I made some tea and now I have an infection.
Dude, Ron Dunn that's just so great. I'm a yoga nut. I'm also a nut.
That same lady who was complaining about the tea complained to Leslie that she had slugs in her yard.
Yeah.
And then I didn't want them all gone. Hey, I didn't want them all gone. She went to fix it. And I didn't want them all gone. Jeez. She's like, all right.
She was the
she's
one.
Like, she's like sprinkling like cracked eggshells or something on them to keep the slugs away.
It was her that was at the town meeting where Harris recommended, you know, he goes, hey, I'm just going to throw this out there. Topless park.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want a topless park in my town. He goes, well, if you're going to be there, I don't want to be there. You know what? I'll take that back. I'll be there. And then the next day they had another meeting and it's Harris again. He goes, I think we need to bring up that yesterday some local hero mentioned the idea of a topless park. Hi, I'm Harris. I'm 30 years young. Oh my god, dude, that show's so great.
Yeah, that whole like, never mind, I'll check it out. I'll go. That just reminds me of that Ron White joke where he's just like,
oh, I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, he just like, we want to see all the titties. He's like
even the old biker chick.
Yeah, the old biker chicks. Go ahead, honey, unroll that thing. Let's see it. Okay, now roll it back up.
All right, roll it back up.
Roll back up.
Good Lord. But, well, anyway, so why yeah, Bad Batch.
Yeah.
And then they flew away. So I'm wondering what their options are. When you take somebody like the Bad Batch, they're not only don't want to join the Empire, they're vehemently against what they stand for. So they're not going to just go hide. I don't think they're going to want to be in the fight against them. And because, you know, you've got the tie-in in with Hera and all that. But then what happens is, and I know this comes up in every conversation that goes along these lines. What happens? How do you explain the fact that Omega and none of the Bad Batch are around when it comes time for A New Hope and all that? And to be like, well, you know, you could ask the same thing of Hera and so on and so on. And so like, okay, then where were they during Rogue One? That was just very recent. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they mentioned Hera's name and you saw the ghost in Rogue One.
Well, that's what I'm saying though, is she was in Rogue One, or at least they mentioned that, but there was no mention of Omega and the Bad Batch. So where were they? And it's like, you just keep going further and further back, which is just one of the downsides of this style of storytelling. But I am anxious to see, we're not anxious, but you know what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to see what they get up to. And I don't know. Do you think we'll see a live action Omega in anything?
No. Yes.
So Dallas,
you think like in Cassian or something like that? Is that what you're thinking? Or Kenobi?
No, I think we'll see her in The Mandalorian.
You mean post Jedi?
Mm-hmm. All grown up.
I'm not saying in any way I don't want that. I just, that would surprise me, but I'll accept it. Yeah,
either if they that do it. Or the Book of Boba Fett.
See, and I would think Cassian or Kenobi.
Yeah, but then that deepens even further the where were they during the rebellion. You know what I mean? Like if she shows up in Mandalorian or Boba Fett or whatever. You know, you could make up some story that she's been hiding forever or whatever, and or whatever. Or, I mean, or you could say that she's in the rebellion. You just never saw her on screen. That's easy enough to do.
That's what I think they'll do.
But if they showcase her during the age of the rebellion in Kenobi or what, well, Kenobi's before kind of, but, and during Cassian, all that stuff, I guess all kind of before, but they showcase her in that. I have a feeling that they'd want to show her grown up. I could be wrong, but I feel like they would do it. And I think having Boba Fett have a meet an unaltered version clone like himself could be kind of cool to see in a live action way.
Mm.
But
I was thinking about the second season of Bad Batch and where they could go with that when you were speaking earlier. And I think it would be a neat opportunity to connect Solo to this series. And what I mean by that is like have, you know, remember Enfys Nest mentions her mother? Like what if the Bad Batch hooked up with her older mother, like right before, and we meet Enfys before she takes on the mask. That would be kind of dope to see that shit. And they could totally make that kind of happen because of the timeline. And it wouldn't really interfere with anything cinematic.
It just seems like Enfys Nest should have been in Saul's group. This feels like she should have been around that era.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think I honestly think they're going to bring her back in one of these live action shows coming up. Kenobi or Cassian. I can see her coming into one of those shows.
And Eric, I want to say something. Earlier you were talking about, and it comes up a lot because of continuity and whatever else and how the storytelling goes with this, but you know, being the saga and the way it is and how being years and years between stories. I think that's going to be more of an issue or a potential issue for people who watch this, all this stuff like 20 years from now. You know what I mean? Like, because me, you and Dallas, we're along for the ride. We know what the story is. We know what all these characters do. We know what they're trying to do as far as inserting these characters. And we just kind of have to like, once again, suspend our disbelief that this is that we didn't see them in the original movies, because obviously we didn't. You know what I mean? Like we're just like, yeah. they were there somewhere.
Whatever. Right.
But you at know. The same time, we have experienced the saga different than somebody will have 20 years from
that's
now.
That's what I'm saying. Younger. It's going to be a problem for them because they're trying to experience the whole story. They're like, well, where the fuck was Omega or whoever? And you know what I mean? Or maybe they won't because it'll be this always forever known that, hey, the original three movies of Star Wars came out a long fucking time ago. And they were originally just meant to be one movie. And then George decided later they'd be episode 4, 5, and 6 for some reason. And they went back and did 1, 2, 3. And they made all this other shit. So figure it out. You know, a lot of story to catch up on.
So do you think, let me ask you this, do you think that season 2 will start up basically right where season 1 left off, or do you think there'll be a gap in there that they'll just sort of fill in with, you know, a little bit of context?
If there's a gap, it'll be less than 3 years, I think. And two, are we all on board that they got that cloner chick so they can start helping with the Emperor project?
Yes, I was 100% thinking that.
I suspect that's the whole idea behind it. Yeah. I find it a bit exhausting that they have to go through all these hoops to put this all together just to accommodate that.
I mean, but they don't have to. They're deciding to. You know what I mean?
And I guess what I mean is that they feel like they have to. It's like, look, I can just come to terms with the fact that old Palps was, you know, had this whole side thing going on. But he's been emperor for, you know, 20 seconds at this point.
Yeah, he's the ultimate evil. It's who he is.
He's the long con, man. Dude's got multiple shit going on all the time in his head about what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, he may only have been emperor for a short period of time, but he's been chancellor for a much longer extended period of time than he was supposed to be. So who knows what he had going on in the background during all that shit.
But, right. Well, yeah. Also, Charlie from Lost in that Rise of Skywalker movie is like, Sith technology's cloning, blah, blah, blah. Like, he kind of like, yeah, that shit. We know they did that shit. You know what I mean? They're kind of foreshadowing that. So it is odd. I think Eric's right. It is odd that they feel like they need to suss it out, but maybe they want to. Maybe they think that's a story that people want to see.
But I feel like something like that with Palpatine and needing to clone and doing all that stuff wouldn't be common knowledge amongst the military. I figured that would be like, you probably wouldn't even see somebody in a military uniform being involved in this. This is his own dark, creepy, black magic wizard weird stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. We go from Rey thinking Luke Skywalker was a myth in The Force Awakens to going to the Rise of Skywalker where fucking Pippin knows all about, or Mary, I think it's Mary, Lord of the Rings, knows the entire history of the Sith. He's like, what? I thought this was kind of like a forgotten art, you know what I mean? Like Luke Skywalker did his thing and people kind of forgot about him.
Well, really, he's like a historian archaeologist kind of guy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
He had second breakfast that day. He was sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean,
and
yeah.
Then five seasons.
We have no idea when this airs. Or when the next
supper?
Season
after supper
next year, we know that. But speaking of having no idea when things air, I saw a thing and I can't find where it was, but it was somebody talking about an interview that Carl Weathers did that, and he mentioned that he's coming back for season 3 as Greef Karga, and that he directed at least an episode, or will be directing an episode, and that filming had started or will start in a month, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why here I am going, and maybe this and maybe that. We're doing a terrible job of staying on top of the facts. But let's face it, that's not what you came here for. If you came here for
a lot of facts right now, I'll be honest. There's not a lot out there.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, if the least I could have done would have been to have the thing I saw in front of me so I can at least give you the details that were in it, but I can't even do that.
I have an interesting story about The Mandalorian.
Go on.
I was hanging out with my buddy Jesse, who is a former Marine, and he was in a Marine unit in Iraq with a gentleman who works at Lucasfilm, who happened to FaceTime him randomly when I was hanging out at his house. And the guy's on this volume. He's on the volume inside that volume thing. And there's like snow in the background for like 3 seconds. And he goes, "I'm just teasing you." And like, he didn't know I was there in the background, but I could see it on his phone. And then when they got done talking, my buddy Jesse turns to me and he goes, "He didn't tell us anything, but what do you think that snow was on the volume for the?" And basically the thing was, he was teasing Jesse because he can't say anything, but he said to him, "You're going to shit your pants in March next year."
What?
Yeah. So whatever, when Mandalorian, I think he's saying the Mandalorian, because he's working on the Mandalorian.
Mm.
So he's saying, "We're going to shit our pants in March next year." Now,
dude,
I'm
probably going to shit my pants while I'm editing this episode.
Yeah.
Well, not out of surprise, just out of.
But like, we were both speculating, what's that snow? Why did he didn't give us anything. I mean, he literally told us nothing, but just seeing the volume on the phone in the FaceTime, like, I was geeking out, man. Like I had met Mark Hamill or something, and all I had done is sat on a couch and seen the fucking phone with the shit on the volume.
That's cool.
And poor Jesse, he's like begging him. He's like, "I saved your tank platoon. Remember that? Tell me what's going on." He's like, "I can't, man. I don't want to get fired from the greatest job ever." And I'm like, you know what? This guy is us. This guy is us that got a job there. So I really appreciated that phone call because I thought it was cool.
There was a voicemail from Intercontinental Tom on Blue Harvest this week.
Yes.
And he was talking about somebody that he's like casual friends with, if you will, on Facebook, that works on the Mandalorian and has been like posting pictures. And he was like, "What do I do with that? Do I be like, hey man, you're gonna get fired?" And you gotta wonder like how hard that would be to have that information and to see that and be cool.
Well, and Jesse was telling me this guy is a huge fan like us, so it's like extra that he can keep it on the down low. Like he told us nothing. And what we saw, I mean, it could have been any planet, but it was just snow. You know what I mean? So your brain goes Darkiller or Hoth automatically.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Who knows?
That he was on the volume. That alone, if I had seen nothing, that was rad enough for me.
That is pretty neat.
The end of this year, next year is going to be a good time for Star Wars TV.
Thank you.
And then the following years after, it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. I really want to see what they're doing with the Book of Boba Fett. I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, me and, too, man.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of like is it going to feel like the Mandalorian in a way, like as far as like episode structure and stuff like that, or is it going to be something else? You know, I
like the idea that it isn't like exactly like the Mandalorian. I'd be okay with they take their own theme with it and just kind of go off Temuera's energy that he brought to those episodes he was in the Mandalorian and just build off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Fennec, because that's an awesome character. I'm super stoked for that show.
I wonder what his intent is, like just becoming another crime boss in a less than managed crime world.
I mean, imagine a bounty hunter who has just taken over basically a small crime syndicate. I mean, that's kind of an interesting idea to flesh out in Star Wars. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. I hope it's allowed to be its own thing. Mm. I mean, it's got to have a certain level of familiarity just because of where we were exposed to it. But I hope it just doesn't feel. I know they've mentioned it being like season 2.5 of The Mandalorian, but it would be cool if they were able to, just have it be its own thing.
When he's on that planet and we get to see him fight in the suit before he's refurbished it and he's got the knee rockets and all that stuff, mm-hmm. That's what I mean by that energy. Bring that energy, whether it seems familiar like The Mandalorian or not. Whatever it takes to have that energy grow and dominate the narrative of the story. I want that. And I think most people who are fans of Boba Fett want that.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
There's no way he's not a constant badass in the show. Like I said, that's just Boba Fett to be. In general. That's Boba Fett in general. You see him in any comic book, any story, he's fucking murdering everybody until he gets what he needs. So, I mean, like, it's just how it goes.
Yes. And I can't help but think back to when we first started the show and we talked about how should they make a movie? Should they not make a movie? You know, hindsight being 2020 now, I'd much rather have a series that has the possibility of multiple episodes and seasons than some 2-hour movie that I could possibly be disappointed in. This is much better. I'll take this 10 times over, especially if they're going to spend the cash they're spending on these fucking episodes.
I'm getting to the point where I want TV shows just as much as movies, if maybe not even a little bit more.
Crazy, like, right? Crazy,
I
mean, right?
I knew that's how it would go because you get more details. You get to know these characters more. You get to explore it, you know, and a lot more can happen. You can connect more dots. Like that's just I knew it was going to happen.
I think they are doing a spectacular job of making a TV show close enough to a movie that it gets you into the characters even more, that they can supplement movies with these shows. It's working brilliantly. If you think about it, I think the two go hand in hand. Really, we shouldn't say that they're going to replace one another, because I mean, having seen Suicide Squad in the theater and then now seeing it on, you know, my iPad, I'm kind of like, man, I'm glad I saw that shit in the theater because that was super cinematic. But now I want to see a show about these characters and let's see more stuff. You know what I mean? And we're getting that with Star Wars and Marvel. And it's it's great.
Yeah. Speaking of Boba Fett, there was a whole thing about his ship being renamed now the Fire Spray. Did you see this?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
That's not.
Well, that's the type of ship it is.
It's manufacturer is something, a fire
something,
spray.
Something. And yeah. So anyway, I don't know what they're going to do with that, but whatevs, man. It's fine. That was a thing. Talking about movies, though, I forgot about this last week. I think it was maybe the day after we recorded, or maybe 2 days after. Taika Waititi had been interviewed for Wired, I think is what it was, an article.
Yeah, I forgot about this. And yeah, it was Wired.
He said that they have a story for his movie. It's still very much in the, you know, there's no script, but they have a fleshed out story. So that's neat. To know that it's happening for real.
Yeah, he has an outline, basically. He has an outline, and then he's writing the script now at this point I got from the article.
Yeah. But, God, it'll be cool to see what he comes up with. I really like that dude.
In that article you're talking about, he also said that he's got, like, he wants to be working on it directly soon, but he's got, like, another one or two projects ahead of it, I think. Something like that.
One of them was building a deck on my house, so get cracking, Taika.
Yeah.
Finishing the electrical in my new construction. That would be nice too, sir, while you're at it.
But yeah, so that's cool. There's going to be so much going on in Star Wars next year and then, you know, leading into 2023. And you got to wonder, like, for Celebration next year, assuming that we still have it,
looking bleak.
Not looking good right now.
I don't know what to do with that. I don't know. But what will be the main focus of the thing? Like, because by that point, we'll have had the Book of Boba Fett, and I don't know if they have plans for that going multiple seasons or if it's just already for sure a one-off. And then, Mandalorian season 3, if it follows immediately after that, dude, it's just hard to say. But anyway,
yeah, I don't know. There's a lot going on. I gotta think it's gonna be TV show heavy because they don't have any movie slate to come out till the end of 2023.
I think that's correct.
Like maybe something. Maybe the director will speak on something. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm so unsure if I want to go or not now. You know what I mean? I didn't get the refund on my ticket for my pass for Celebration, but I've not purchased anything else. So kind of, but I have backup plans and good friends who are offering shelter if I do decide to come. So,
you're not staying with me.
That's fine. That's never happening again.
Thank God. But
yeah.
Well, yeah, I do hope Celebration happens, but I want it to be stress free from a I like being alive standpoint. You know, if we're going to have Celebration, I want it to feel safe, and I don't want to have to deal with a bunch of drama revolving around whether or not it feels safe.
And that's when again? Next May or next August?
Yeah, May.
May. It was originally in August, and they moved it up. And now I'm like, hey, dumbasses, you maybe should have just kept the original date, yo.
Yeah. I'm not going to do a big thing, but like the problem is that half of the country who is not getting vaccinated have dug their heels in so deep that I don't see them ever doing it unless it's mandated. And then there's going to be people fighting. So I don't know. So I think, and then you might have to show proof of your vaccination when you go in. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like that'd be a whole nother deal. Especially if somebody paid to go there already, got all the hotels and planes booked, and they dropped that knowledge on us. People be pissed.
That's yeah. The thing is that I suspect that there would be like a way out of that for the purchaser. Mm-hmm. Basically, meaning that look, this in the of course I don't know how terms of service work for things like that, but yeah, dude, it's a very interesting thing. And to imagine that this really isn't as unprecedented as you might want to believe. It's just unprecedented mm-hmm. in our lifetime. And I don't know. I just don't know. And I'm certainly not going to be the one to crack this nut. So let's just stop right there.
There you go.
And I guess, honestly, man, got a lot to look forward to. No episode of the Bad Batch this week. That's just going to seem weird. I was really enjoying the run, but you know, we got Marvel, we got that. I'm wanting to know. I've seen the Wrecker popping up at Targets on, you know, seeing pictures of him at Target, but I haven't even bothered going to my local Target just to be disappointed. They're in the middle of a remodel.
Oh, we just had that in ours. And it's so nice once they get done, bro.
Like, I don't know. I'm sure that the inventory sitch is abysmal at best. Mm-hmm. But
anyway, after the remodel, just so you know.
Well, I pre-ordered one, and I would like to get it because I want to play with it. Bang, bang, pew, pew. But, well, guys, I really don't have anything else. Or I don't have anything smart to say. Saying I don't have anything else smart to say would imply that I had already said something smart, and I indeed have not. But the one smart thing I will say is go to patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Well, it's just there's something there for everybody. Mm-hmm. Go there.
Ooh, this week, Tarkin Tangents is going to review the new Suicide Squad movie.
Nice.
With our buddy Steve and our buddy Calvin. It'll be good.
It's right gonna be a banger. Man. Dude, my last episode of That's Metal, that's a very fun show that I wish had a wider reach, but because of the content of it, you know, there's no way I could. I mean, hell, this podcast almost got destroyed by takedown notices. That podcast would be doomed right out of the gate. But it's a good show, man. I have a lot of fun doing it. And yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. But yeah, patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Thanks for supporting the show.
I want to say there was one song you covered where there was too much. It was the Wrecking Ball. Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball. Uh-huh. But it was the who was the band that did it?
August Burns Red.
There's another band that did a cover of that song where they scream. Like they did what you wanted this band to do. They like screamed at the very like you didn't really want them to scream, but they screamed this one part, and then somebody sang the wrecking ball part. Like, is it like they only scream for like the intro to the chorus, and then they sing and then they sang the chorus.
Which is, I think. Do you remember who it was?
But no, I'll have to look it up again. But it was a metal version of the song.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun, man. And I appreciate everybody who reached out, letting me know that you are digging the show and that you listen to it. Another slant I may take, because this is cool, is artists who have covered metal songs in non-metal ways. I mean, hell, there's a whole series of albums where bluegrass goes metal.
Oh my God.
I mean, just tons of them.
Or like strings versions of metal songs.
What they did, the Metallica with four cellos, Apocalyptica or whatever it's called.
But anyway,
speaking of shows, we do need to let Turbo know that Luke and I at some point will cover the Luke Longley story of The Last Dance. I mean, he's been
just
messaging
for Turbo,
just for just Turbo.
Well, it's a number special one tier. I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, the exactly.
Tier. The Turbo tier. You're gonna up your monthly patronage. Thanks, buddy.
But you'll get your own you'll get your own personal episode one time. You have to keep paying that higher rate. No, just kidding.
This isn't related to the Bad Motivators, but if you dig video games, consider checking out the High Potion podcast. I'm really enjoying that show with our buddy Hawes and Steve Crothy, that guy seems pretty rad, man. But yeah, it's a great show. Definitely go check it out. He can
slow metal like nobody's business.
Yeah. So check out Patreon. I mentioned that. Check out TeePublic and Redbubble. The links are there in the description. Follow us, wherever, man. Follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. And all that's left to say is this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
Bad Motivators.